Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the ISSB, and I'm joined by our Chair, Emmanuel Faubert, and we're recording this podcast during a week where we're here with our fellow board members in Montreal. So it's great to be in Montreal. It's fantastic to be here just before our launch of our inaugural standards, given all of the support we've had from the community here in Montreal for the establishment of the ISSB. It's a special week because while we're all together, we aren't having a board meeting. There's no technical meeting, so no public discussion. But we're spending time together just to get ready for the launch, practicing our communications and things like that. But also, there's some meetings with stakeholders. And Emmanuel, I think you were meeting with key Canadian stakeholders today. You were at Corum.
Yeah, thank you, Sue, and welcome everyone to our podcast. Indeed, I was with CORIM, which stands for the Council of International Relations of Montreal. And it was interesting to reflect that it was not even a year ago we were here in Montreal to sign the MOU that establishes the office here with Montreal International and Finance Montreal, which obviously completely interconnects with this audience of CORIM. Jin Donghua, our co-vice chair, was also with me, as well as Michael Yancey, our board colleagues. And Jin Dong, by the way, also engaged here with the International Corporate Governance Network annual conference, where he's been meeting with key representatives from around the world, from the investor community.
And so, like most months, we will have our jurisdictional working group meeting this week. So that's the group of jurisdictions that looks at strategic issues and interoperability. And it's especially important this month because the European Commission's just opened their short four-week consultation on their final drafts of the European Sustainability Reporting Standards. And we're really delighted they've launched those. It's good to see that there's great progress towards interoperability in those redrafted standards, which of course is so important because having that global baseline within the European requirements is important. And we're both really focused on making sure that companies that choose or need to apply both the ISSB and ESRS standards can do so in the most efficient way possible. So we're really focused on reducing any possible duplicative reporting burden for companies. Now, we've made great progress, but there's still some areas where we are hoping further progress might be made in the last stretch here from the European side, particularly in the definition of an approach to the assessment of materiality to align the investor piece of that test, making sure that when companies are applying both ESRS and ISSB standards, that the global baseline is really visible and present. So that investors can see that information and companies can communicate with the market. So really keen to make sure that that's possible while being compliant with the ESRS requirements. So we are really encouraging our ISSB stakeholders to engage, to respond with that European consultation because it's just so important. And we are separately still talking to our European counterparts about how we make sure that the approach to interoperability, the interaction between our standards and theirs, particularly on climate, is visible and understood by the market. And we're continuing to talk to them about how we both achieve that. So that's this week in Montreal, Emmanuel, and perhaps it's worth going and telling our stakeholders about what you've been up to since they last heard your voice following our May meeting in London.
Thank you, Sue. Well, it's been a pretty busy agenda as well in terms of engagement, as you know, in a run-up to the issuance of our standards. First of all, probably a U.S. trip, another one where we met with board colleagues from the U.S. and based here in North America, with corporate investors, data providers, but also the accountancy profession, to discuss S1 and S2 in Boston, in New York, in San Francisco. We also discussed voluntary use of the standards and how companies can prepare for S1 and S2 and how actually it is a good start when you prepare both on SASB and TCFD framework to prepare for S1 and S2 implementation. We discussed the role of data providers and how more robust information will help them do their jobs. We also had our inaugural conference in Frankfurt, the first major conference of the IFRS Foundation, that was around the integrated reporting framework. Over 200 people in person, more than 100 watching online. We reflected on how integrated reporting and thinking is embedded into IFRS S1 through the concept of resources and relationship and connectivity of information, about the fact that integrated reports continue to be an effective way of enabling companies to tell a holistic story, integrated financial and sustainability related financial information. It was a great opportunity to reconnect and continue to connect with our Frankfurt community, with the integrated reporting network leaders and a number of other key stakeholders. And finally, I'd say I also spent time with IOSCO members in the annual meeting of IOSCO, engaging with a number of Global South jurisdictions in panels and other conversations that raised again how much there is interest and appetite for our standards, but also the need for capacity building and support and proportionality in the way we can guide and support jurisdictions, not only companies and investors, but also regulators in the way they handle the adoption of our standards. And while I was there, you and Jinam were participating in the IFRS Foundation Trustees meeting in Warsaw. Do you want to tell us more?
So yes, a great week in Warsaw last week at the trustees meeting. So a fantastic opportunity to spend time with the trustees again just before the launch of S1 and S2, because of course they're so important, having set us up in the first place. And it's really important to have their support as we move forward to the adoption of our standards. So that was a good opportunity to connect with them. Also great to really feel a warm welcome from the Polish finance community while we were there. And one thing I did while I was in town was to participate in a panel that the Warsaw Stock Exchange put in place, where I was on a panel with Patrick de Cambor from the European Sustainability Board and Elko from GRI. So a great conversation between us on our different and complementary perspectives. So a good opportunity to engage with stakeholders there. And crossing the world again, Emmanuel, activities in Beijing. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something that was cooking since we signed an MOU with the China Minister of Finance in December last year to establish an office in Beijing and work with our Chinese colleagues on the implementation of the global baseline of our standards. The office is now formally open with a visit from Erki Li Kinen, the chair of our trustees, and Lee White, the CEO of our foundation. Teresa Ko, a Hong Kong-based trustee as well, were visiting government officials and Beijing government officials as well to establish that office, which will play a significant role in the defining and executing our strategy for emerging and developing economies, also acting as a hub for stakeholder engagement in Asia, and undertaking capacity building for developing countries and SMEs there. We are actually looking forward to our first meeting of ISSB there in November. So, as we have just summarized, I think June has been a fantastic month already of both establishing the infrastructure, engaging, and of course, it's only going to get better as we issue S1 and S2. And to that end, I think we all at the IFRS Foundation, with our ISSB board colleagues, our staff, and beyond that, the people that support us, can be, if not proud, at least happy about what we have delivered in time, at speed, but with due process and quality when it comes to our standards, which will be working with jurisdictional requirements in a proportionate, verifiable manner, disclosure that can be delivered digitally as well, where we require industry-specific disclosures and are building on consolidating voluntary standards and frameworks. We, I think, are bringing something which is very different from any compliance exercise, any ESG discrete metrics. It's really about an accounting language for sustainability that we are developing and that we are bringing to the market. And that is, I think, where it will make a complete difference. So do you want to tell us more about this, Sue?
Why not? So S1 and S2. So firstly, S1, really important standard because it really sets the scene. It establishes this global baseline of disclosures, asking for information not just on climate, but on all of the important sustainability-related risks and opportunities that a company is exposed to that is relevant for investors because it affects cash flows, cost of capital, and access to finance. So we build on the TCFD structure that everybody's so familiar with, and we ask for industry-specific information in addition to what you see from the TCFD recommendations. I think the other couple of things I'd point out is that S1 really establishes the framework for the reporting. So the fact that the information should be connected with the financial statements, that there should be consistency of assumptions where relevant with the accounting standards between your sustainability reporting and the financial statements, and the fact that it's part of that general purpose reporting package. So it's really designed to complement the financial statements and be a package of information laser focused on meeting investor information decision-making needs. And what's really important, I think, international accounting standards designed to work really well with the IFRS accounting standards and use a lot of their language to build on the point that Emmanuel just made, but really importantly can be used in conjunction with any accounting requirements, US GAAP, Japanese GAAP, so truly a global baseline. So S1 really complemented by S2, so designed to be used in combination with S1. So this sets out the specific disclosures required about climate-related risks and opportunities. The great news for companies is if you use S2, you will fully meet the TCFD recommendations, so it's reducing that alphabet soup. And like the TCFD recommendations, asking for information about climate-related physical and transition risks, also asking for information on climate-related opportunities. And we build on, but don't require, the use of climate-related metrics in the SASB standards. We do ask for industry-specific disclosures, and a source of inspiration in the standards is examples that are built from the SASB standards that we ask companies to refer to and consider as a really helpful way to understand the types of information that can be really relevant to meet investor needs based on the industry that you're in. So two fantastic standards to look out for in the next week. So Emmanuel, with that, what are the plans for the big launch?
Sure, Sue. It will start with the IFRS Foundation Conference on Monday in London. That's our annual conference. And it's even more important this year with the opportunity that it gives to connect with the foundation's long-term supporters, ecosystems, and to share insights to start with our new S1 and S2. That will be a globally accessible event to make sure that everyone around the world can participate. My speech will be live streamed via our website. So to all of you in the audience, please do watch out for that. That will be 1:30 p.m. London time on Monday. Then we'll have a number of launch events during the week, 7 in total. First of all, grateful to the stock exchanges around the world, including Frankfurt, Chile, Johannesburg, London, Lagos, New York, for hosting launch events for us with our local partners. Many thanks to you all. It's important to have such support from these stock exchanges, given the role they play in efficient capital market systems. And I'm also grateful to the ASEAN Capital Markets Forum with the support of Singapore Stock Exchange for the launch event taking place in Singapore. So that will be next week, a great week for sure. But you, work doesn't stop just because the standards are out. So what else are we focused on?
Yes, so you're right. Our work doesn't stop with the publication of the standards. It's the beginning of an exciting new journey. So what's next for us? So we're now really switching our focus and looking forward. So the first thing we will be doing is looking at implementation by companies of our standards around the world. So really making sure that we're there to help with implementation questions, with the transition implementation group that we are in the process of establishing, and also working with our capacity building initiatives to make sure that the market's really prepared and ready to use these standards. We're also starting to move our focus now onto making sure that these wonderful new standards get used around the world, whether that's because companies choose to use the standards voluntarily to provide useful information to investors, or whether that's as a result of jurisdictions around the world actually requiring particular companies to use our standards. And it's great to already see there that jurisdictions such as the UK, Nigeria, Japan, Singapore are all looking at mechanisms and approaches to looking at adoption of our standards even before we've published them. So that's a really great sign, and that's where we'll put a lot of energy for the rest of the year. And then, of course, our standard setting work isn't finished either, of course. So we've got our open consultation, so a little ad break to remind you all. We have our request for information that's open until the 1st of September, where we're asking you to tell us what you think we should spend our time on for our next 2 years of standard setting, what our priorities should be and why. And we have also got a consultation that's open until the 9th of August, where we're looking for feedback around the methodology that we use to make sure that the SASB standards are suitable for international application around the world, and that's really to support the use of S1. So please take the time to give us your feedback on that as well.
So it's really an exciting moment in time, ushering in a new era for sustainability-related financial disclosures. We're basically building a comprehensive language that will support capital market allocations towards more resilient economic models for companies. That the market has told us there is a huge need and an urgent need for that. So we are very, very excited, and I would like to just take that opportunity to thank all our stakeholders who've helped us get to this point. We look forward to engage with you all on Monday across the world, and hope you'll download the standards then. Thank you.
For the latest developments from either the International Sustainability Standards Board or the International Accounting Standards Board, make sure to subscribe on the IFRS Foundation website, www.ifrs.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take some time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player.